Good evening. Glad to be with you again in the middle of the week. And I don't know about you, but sometimes things don't seem to go along as we would like them. It's very easy to become discouraged and doing a lot of things. And I know one thing that is a problem for a lot of people is sharing the gospel. It seems like no matter who you talk to or where you go, people just do not seem to want to listen. And then when we think of why aren't people doing what they need to do, sometimes we might look at ourselves in the mirror and say, is it me? Is there something that I'm not doing like I should be doing? Something that I should be doing but I'm not doing? And I can remember more than 20 years ago when I was getting ready to preach my first sermon. I was getting so excited knowing that the time was finally going to come that I would get to stand before a group of people and present a message from God's Word. And of course, everything in my mind was very clear. I'm going to do the best job that I can do, and nobody's going to hear a sermon quite like that before, and there's going to be someone that'll come down and walk down that aisle. Well, the time came, the sermon was preached, the invitation was sung. Not a single soul came forward. And I can remember being very heartbroken. What else could I do? Maybe it was my fault. I was the one that didn't do a good enough job to cause some lost soul to become a Christian. But you know, I quickly found out, as time went on, it wasn't necessarily all my fault. Even Jesus had that trouble. If you would, please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. And I believe that even this past Sunday morning during our Bible class, a comment or two was even made regarding this, and I thought that this would be a good time to look at this. Mark, chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading here in verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except with his own country, among his own natives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went out about the villages in a circuit, teaching. Imagine that. Jesus, when he returned to the place where he grew up, he marveled, as the text says in verse 6, because of their unbelief. After all, this is Jesus, God's only begotten Son. Look at him. Notice how he acts. Is he not different than the rest of the world? Doesn't he teach things that are contrary to what is being taught? Surely there is something very unique about him. After all, he is the one that has all authority. But yet, people are not listening to him. People are offended at him. What might cause one to be offended at Jesus? Why will they not be willing to do what he says? Well, when you think about the connections Jesus had with Nazareth, everybody knew him. They watched him grow up. They knew his family. They knew his friends. They knew his habits of where he went and what he did, what little education that he may have had here upon this earth. They knew who Jesus was to an extent, but they did not completely understand or grasp the entire concept that Jesus was also the Son of God. But then, as time went on, you'll recall the book of Acts in chapter 9, tells us of how the Lord would later appear unto Saul of Tarsus. And even Saul had difficulties. Once he realized what he needed to do to become a Christian, remember that Ananias had baptized him, and immediately following, where did Saul go but to Jerusalem? His intent was to join the disciples, become a close part of the group that he tried to destroy. But we find out that that's not the same reception that was waiting to greet Saul. If you'll look with me now in the book of Acts in chapter 9, I'd like for us to look at a few verses here beginning in verse 26 to see exactly what took place when Saul reached his destination. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how that he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken unto him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So when he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Sounds a little bit like what we studied a little while ago in our introduction to Romans. But did you notice the effect? The churches were comforted, and yet they were multiplied. Success ensued. Maybe sometimes when we're looking at ourselves, if we think we're not doing the right thing, or maybe in the right way, maybe we're just in the wrong place. Jesus couldn't be effective in his own country. Saul had problems even back at Jerusalem. But as Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and following, it is our duty to preach the word. But where can we preach the word? After all, Jesus commanded his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There might be some people that you can reach that I cannot. There might be some people that I can reach that you cannot. But instead, let us not become discouraged, but rather encourage one another. There is truly a way each and every one of us can become more effective in the Lord's kingdom. And I believe this is evident in the life of Christ and also in the life of the Apostle Paul. And I hope and pray that it will be effective in your lives and in mine. This evening, are you doing everything you can to become effective in the kingdom of God? If not, we're just about to sing the song to encourage you. Maybe you need to respond to the gospel of Christ. Maybe you need the prayers and encouragement of the Lord's church. If you need us to assist you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.